You tuned in to the Kojo Namdi show on WAMU 88.5. Welcome. Later in the broadcast, what does it take to get our region's young people to vote? But first, Providence Hospital, the district's longest-running hospital, has been through dramatic changes over the past year. Last October, the hospital shut down its maternity ward, and by the end of 2018, the hospital will end its acute services and switch to primary and urgent care. In the process, the hospital's board of directors has been overhauled and protests have been organized. Here to explain the latest is Morgan Baskin, housing complex columnist at Washington City Paper. Morgan, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Have you been a patient at Providence Hospital? What would its change in focus mean for you and for your healthcare? Do you live in a healthcare desert? What length must you go through in order to get the treatment you need? Morgan, Providence Hospital is the Washington D.C.'s oldest city hospital. It's been running for over 150 years. What role has it had in the community given its location?
Well, it serves some of the district's lowest income folks and a lot of people of color, which is to say that it serves a really critical role in providing health care for folks in the eastern part of the city.
Last year, when the maternity ward closed, there was concern about deepening existing healthcare disparities. But at what point did Providence run into financial trouble that led to the changes we've seen over the past year?
Well, financial reports from 2016 and 2017 show that it's been operating at about a $23 million loss for each of those years. That's a pretty dramatic departure from earlier years. I think in 2015, as the Washington Business Journal reported, it was something like $9.7 million of an operational loss. So for the last few years, obviously, it's had a lot of financial difficulty, but the most dramatic changes, I think, have come only recently.
It's been only a year since, but did the maternity ward closure, along with United Medical Center east of the river closing its maternity ward, lead to poorer healthcare outcomes, as far as you know?
It's hard to say because of the way that D.C. tracks this data. So D.C. does have one of the highest maternal mortality rates in the country. I think now it's something like 36 out of every 100,000 live births, and that's much higher than the national average, which is 20. But materially, that means that, you know, fewer than 10 women die every year in D.C. in childbirth, which is obviously a high number, but it's difficult to track trends with numbers that small. That's not to say that the closure of these hospitals hasn't presented a huge problem in the longer-term care that moms face. You know, obviously, you want to get to know and establish a relationship with the doctor that's going to deliver your baby. And, you know, if you lose access to that person and you can no longer access, you know, inpatient services, you have to look pretty far and wide, especially if you live in the eastern part of the city.
Last year, when the maternity ward closed, was there an expectation that more hospital services would end, or did new developments lead Ascension, the Catholic health organization that runs Providence, to take away its acute services?
I think it depends who you ask, because if you look at what Ascension has done to its other hospital properties across the country, we see that this is actually a trend. I know that in Milwaukee and in Michigan, Ascension has done already enacted a lot of similar changes as it plans to do in D.C. So I think for some folks, it might have been, if not a long time coming, the writing was on the wall in a sense. But I don't think that a lot of the immediate players, including the hospital's board of directors, really knew the extent to which Ascension planned to change the services until this summer.
I should mention that we did invite Ascension, the health group that manages Providence Hospital, to join us for this broadcast, but we did not receive a response. So as far as you know, Morgan, what does Ascension have planned instead of hospital services?
It's difficult to say. The most specific they've gotten is they're focusing on outpatient services, which means, you know, no more surgeries. They use vague terms sort of like telehealth and telemedicine and a health village, which, you know, some folks like at Washington Business Journal have reported that can mean affordable housing and retail and wellness centers. So Ascension hasn't gotten incredibly specific about what it plans to do with the space. All we know is that by the end of the year, you're not going to be able to access inpatient services.
The hospital board resisted these changes. What happened to them and how?
So on July 23rd, there was a meeting with the board of directors of Providence Hospital. You know, they went through their entire meeting. It was about an hour and a half long, as I'm told. And then within the last 5 minutes, a handful of the members of the board had already left. And at that point, one of the Ascension executives came into the meeting and essentially floated this plan to totally end acute care services. They, as far as what the board has told me, did not present a financial plan, a 1, 3, or 5-year plan, any specifics about what these changes would look like. The terms were incredibly vague. So the board members that were there voted to pass it, sort of expecting that it would change some parts of the hospital, but preserve bigger, more important programs. And as it turns out, that didn't happen. And they soon became very disillusioned by what they were told by the folks at Ascension. And then a couple of weeks later, actually, at a separate board meeting, introduced and passed a bill to scrap their approval of Ascension's plan. And one of the board members told me they were told to not make that information public because it's not something that Ascension could abide by.
What have you been hearing from Ascension during all of this in your reporting?
Well, I got one statement from Ascension back at the end of August when all of the board members were fired. And Ascension basically told me that this is standard operating procedure for them when they have ended acute care services at other hospital properties around the country, that they understand the difficulty of a local board of directors, the difficulty that they face in having to explain these changes and seeing extreme changes to their community. So Ascension says this is sort of what they do.
Throughout all of this, doctors, nurses, and community advocates have been advocating for the hospital to remain as is. How successful have they been?
It's hard to say because it doesn't seem like they've really heard a lot from Ascension. And as far as I know, their plans haven't changed at all.
Joining me in studio is Corey Lanham, the Mid-Atlantic Collective Bargaining Director for National Nurses United. Corey Lanham, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for covering this important issue.
Ascension is not shutting down all medical services and packing up and leaving entirely. The plan apparently is to end hospital services and refocus the primary care treatment and other outpatients' needs. But what is your understanding of this community's needs, and do the changes that we are hearing about likely to take place at Providence address those needs?
I think the community needs acute care hospital services. I think it's problematic for Ascension to close this hospital. And as far as their plans, we bargained with them across the table. And just as early as last week, they said specifically they don't know what they're going to do with the facility. So
you don't know at this point?
They don't know either.
The next question I'm going to address to you and our caller, who is Vincent Gray, who is the council member representing Ward 7 in the district, the former mayor of the city, and I think the chair of the council's committee on health. Councilmember Vincent Gray, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Kojo. I appreciate the opportunity to join the conversation.
I will put this question to you first and then Corey. There have been a number of issues around healthcare options, particularly in the poorer parts of the city. There's United Medical Center, which, as we said, also shut down its maternity ward. And the city plans to open a new hospital east of the river to be run by George Washington University. D.C. has some of the highest infant and maternal mortality rates of any big city in the nation. Councilmember Gray, what do you think the city can be doing, should be doing, to address the possible closing of significant parts of Providence Hospital?
Well, the first thing we're going to do, Kojo, is on Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock at the council, we're going to have a hearing to try to get at some of the information, some of the questions that you've attempted to address in this interview thus far. We haven't gotten really any clear information at all about what Providence is going to do. We heard that their board had been dismissed, that there were Ascension executives who were appointed to replace them on the board. So we're very concerned. We've heard from the Department of Health that they believe that the gaps can be filled by the existing hospitals. Yet I've had contact with other hospitals in the city who indicate that they're already being overrun by people who formerly have gone to Providence. Just as an example, Kojo, we looked at some of the data, and just under 12,000 people from Wards 7 and 8 went to Providence over the last year. There is no easy way to be able to accommodate the gap that's being created. And, of course, as you indicated, there was a commitment to build a new hospital. We've been working on that since I was the mayor. We've gotten the money back in the budget to be able to do this. But the timetable just doesn't work. It has the hospital opening at best now, which we were able to get it moved up a year by 2023. We can't wait that long for the services that are being terminated. Where are these people supposed to go? And it's just not clear to me at all. That's one of the whole questions we have to get answered. Where are these people supposed to go as a result of the termination of the health care services at acute care services at Providence?
Councilmember Gray, this is a private hospital. From all appearances, it has been hemorrhaging money. Obviously, something needs to be done. But as I said, it's a private hospital. What influence can the city, a city that, according to all measures, is doing very well financially, what measures can the city adopt, if possible, to save the services the Providence Hospital now offers?
Well, there's a certificate of need process, which is what is used to open a hospital in the first place, but they have to go through the same process in order to close the hospital. And certainly the hospital can use its financial condition as a basis for closing. They believe they can't possibly continue to provide services with the financial condition that they have. They can use that as the basis for closing down the hospital. So unless the city is willing to put up money to keep Providence open, it's going to be a tough situation.
And before you go, Councilmember Gray, what is the purpose of the hearing on Wednesday?
Well, the purpose of the hearing is to really get at exactly what is precipitating the closure at this stage. If it's financial conditions, we want to hear about that. What is supposed to happen to the people who've been going to the hospital? As you indicated earlier, the maternal services, the obstetrical services have been shut down. Behavioral health services have been shut down. And then, what's going to happen to people who use those services now? We don't know. We want to hear that from Providence. What planning have they engaged in to try to change the outcomes of the people who go there?
Councilmember Vincent Gray represents Ward 7 on the Council of the District of Columbia. He's the chair of the Committee of Health and the former mayor of the city. Mayor Gray, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, and I hope people will come out and testify on Wednesday. They deserve to know, Kojo.
I think Corey Lanham might be one of those people who show up in order to testify. But Corey, if you'd like to pick up where we left off with talking with Councilmember Gray, what, in your opinion, do you think the city should be doing to address the health needs of people who now use Providence Hospital?
Well, I just want to talk about real quick the financial condition of the hospital.
Please do, because I characterized it as hemorrhaging money. Right. I might be wrong.
So Ascension Health, is its entire mission is to care for the poor. So I think it's, to say they're hemorrhaging money is a little disingenuous. They made $1.6 billion in the first three quarters of this year as a corporation. So if you're stated goal is to care for the poor, you can't assume that you're going to make a profit at the same time. But here we know they've made plenty of money. So that's
even though Providence itself may not have, the company as a whole, Ascension, has made a great deal of money.
Well, we think, Providence hasn't made money, but a lot of that has to do with the mismanagement and basically shutting down services in order to appear unhealthy.
What do you know about this notion of a health village model, and how, in your view, would that affect the residents who now depend on Providence Hospital for urgent and other care?
All I know about the healthcare village is the rendering that they put out when they announced it last year, which showed a vitamin shop, a gym, and a grocery store, presumably Whole Foods. Mm-hmm. I don't think that a health village can replace an acute care hospital. I think it's tragic that we're allowing what...
Let me cut to the chase.
Sure.
What do you think is really going on here?
I think there's a real estate deal in the works, and I think it's about real estate. But I think also the city has a role to play. We're talking about critical infrastructure. This is critical infrastructure. Someone in St. Louis should not be able to decide that we are getting out of the business of acute care services in our city without us having a say, without the city council having a say, without anyone, any orderly process to bring this together.
Morgan Baskin, what happened to Providence to this sense of mission that Corey Lanham indicated that Ascension is supposed to be devoted to, and that is providing health care services for poor people?
I mean, I think he said it pretty well. It's not completely out of line with other property deals the city has made in the last few years that they would want to redevelop it into a, you know, it's a nice goal to have affordable housing, but I think, you know, that need could be fulfilled somewhere else.
Corey, there's, as Councilmember Gray mentioned, a hearing on Providence this Wednesday, the 10th. What would you like to see the city do?
I would like to see the city do what other states have done as it relates to hospital closures. I would like to see the city put in place measures where the public has some say, measures where the city has some say, and actually force the Department of Health to do a study on how this impacts our citizens on the east side of D.C.
Morgan?
Well, I'll also say that, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I think it was the city administrator, Rashad Young, that was quoted as saying D.C. doesn't really have an interest in putting a lot of public money into hospitals because it's just not profitable. So this isn't something that I see the city being interested in, although, you know, they could prove us wrong.
But, Corey, if the city were to intervene, can the city stop Ascension from doing what it wants to do with Providence?
I think other states have legislation on the books, California and New York specifically, that create a process for private hospital closures. Again, the Department of Homeland Security says that hospitals are critical infrastructure, both public and private. So there needs to be a process to deal with them.
How many people stand to lose their jobs if Ascension is allowed to go through with this?
We're thinking 1,600 workers, 1,600 taxpayers.
And I'm afraid that's all the time we have for now, but this is an issue that we will be following up following the D.C. Council hearing on Wednesday. Corey Lanham is the Mid-Atlantic Collective Bargaining Director for National Nurses United. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Morgan Baskin is the Housing Complex Reporter at Washington City Paper. Morgan, always a pleasure.
Thank you. Likewise.
We're going to take a short break. When we come back, what does it take to get our region's young people to vote? If you have ideas, you can start calling now, 800-433-8850. You can send us a tweet at Kojo Shore. Email to kojo@wamu.org. I'm Kojo Nnamdi.
Thanks for listening to the Kojo Nnamdi Show. And if you're already a member of WAMU 88.5, thank you for your support. If not, it's easy to give online at wamu.org. Just click the donate button, and thanks.